I'm Věra Hicks, born Svobodová in Prague in March 1919. I came to England in 1951 when my daughter was born, and here I am. My husband died in 2000. So I have got my daughter who lives very near me. So she's so kind, she comes every day. And then I have a granddaughter whom I love as well. But of course I don't see her so often because she has got her own life. And in her short life she has been in so many places and worked in so many other countries. So it's a special thing when she comes back to London.
I'm the daughter, the one who was born just after you arrived in this country. I indeed do live about 80 yards away in a house which we moved into 6 months before I found this flat in which you find yourself in Richmond, which is in the southwest of London.
My name is Natasha Dyer. I was born in London in 1985, and my father is English. My mother is obviously Czech, and I was brought up also by my grandmother who taught me Czech. And we all spoke Czech together. So we've kept the Czech going. And I also lived in Prague in 2009 and 10. So I worked there myself and have kept the Czech up even while going off to live in other places and do other things. We are all only children, I should say that. All three of us are only girls. And my grandfather was also an only child. So we come from a line of Czech women, actually, a very strong Czech women in our family. We're all linguists. We all speak many languages. How many languages do you speak, Fabi?
Well, French, German, Czech, English, and I get by in Spain and in Italy.
My mum is the best. She speaks.
So, I think those ones, isn't it?
Those ones. A bit of Mandarin. And then I studied Russian and French at university and already spoke French and Spanish. And I've been learning a bit of Swahili recently, which is the new one. Ooh. But yes, languages unites us, as does travelling, as we've all been doing much travelling in our lives.
I have spent my young years in Vinohrady. My primary school was very near where I lived, which was one street up and one to the right. It was altogether 5 minutes. And the street was called Lužická, and one side of the building was facing the park. Well, I had a very good mother because she adored me and she has done for me everything. And we were extreme friends. No, and my father was extremely educated man, and he was a good musician, and he was a good technician as an engineer, but he had an impossible nature because everything, he never spoke a normal human voice, he always roared. And it meant that when he came home, so we already heard him from the door, if something, whatever was wrong, it was for him a reason to shout. And when I was about 17, I said, "Mommy, we can't stay here." So she left him. She didn't divorce him, but we left and we lived with my grandmother. And my father came visiting very often, and when he was a visitor, he behaved much better. But to live with him under the same roof was impossible. My husband, Bobby, I have met in the Vinohrady main church, St. Ludmila, and there was a confirmation. And it was Sunday, and we went for a walk with the parents. And when I saw there are many people in the church, so I went there as well. And there stood, waiting to be confirmed, a blonde boy in a navy suit. And I liked him. And so we had all our various adventures with other girls, I with other boys. But then we always came together because somehow we understood each other so well. So I married him when I was 25. I had a very simple wedding. It was in the civil office at the old town hall in Prague, the last year of the war. And present was only me, my husband, the two witnesses, and my best friend, because otherwise the parents did not come, because my mother-in-law was the crying type and she would have done a scene there. So she was not allowed. And because she was not allowed, my own mother couldn't come as well.
And I found the photograph of their wedding day, which is a wonderful picture. I love it because I said to Bubby the other day that if these outfits they were wearing, which are actually very simple because for the time they didn't have the extravagance, my grandmother is wearing a lovely suit, which is a sort of skirt suit to the knee, and a suit jacket with big shoulders and a lovely flower on her lapel, and white gloves and sort of white shoes.
Quite trainerish.
Trainerish shoes. And
not
I said,
they weren't. Very elegant shoes. And after the Hungarian style, who did it?
So yes, no. But they look very modern in a way. And I would said to her, if she wore this in East London today, she would really fit in because it's very trendy, very à la mode of the moment. And my grandfather's wearing a big trench coat and a hat and tie. And they look very good. Nothing extravagant, but very smart. And yeah, I love this photograph.
How many years were you married?
From 44 to 2000, so that's easy. 56 years.
You got married the last year of the war, and you'd been working at Škoda during the war.
Yes, when the Germans came, so Hitler closed universities. And so it was necessary to have a job. And because the situation was that the Germans tried to get as many young people to Germany to work in factories and so on. And Germany was very strongly bombed. So the parents tried to fix the children with jobs in the protectorate. And so one director of Škoda Works was a friend of my father-in-law. So he got Bobby in. And then when Bobby was there, he tried and he got me in. So which means that we have both during the war worked for the Škoda Works, which of course were doing as well the ammunition for Germans.
There's Prague, there's Prague. Americans and English, help us. We need guns. There are too many Germans. Send us airplanes and tanks.
Before the war ended, there was the Czech uprising, early May. And the Czechs tore out all the stones from the pavement and they built barricade. And people stayed at home. I have been with Bobby at his parents. And my mother was in her flat in Ječna. And the third day, we came for her and took her with us. But I don't know, they were already people hanging on the lanterns, so that Germans were already.
Dead people?
Dead Germans. Because it was a state of war, in a way, in the town. No, but then the Germans gave up and they left.
So, Bobby, after the war, in the few years after the war, before you left, can you tell us about that? Tell us about just before you left and then the circumstances of your leaving.
After the war, I stopped working in Škoda Works, of course, and I helped my father-in-law in his office. Not much, because there was too many distractions. Too many people came from abroad, new trends, new music, new books, so it was wonderful time, and balls again, dancing and so on. And that lasted till 1948.
Právě se vracím na radu od prezidenta republiky.
And it was a moment, I think it was February 48, and the Czechs proclaimed themselves for the Russians.
Mohu vám sdělit, že pan prezident všechny mé návrhy přesně tak, jak byly podány,
so it was self-doing, really. But of course, they say that it was because the Allies had let them down, so that was that. No, and of course, from that moment, the communism, it was in. And the president was a communist, and all what started more or less at that year, 48.
So then when did you decide to go?
In the summer of that year, I think, Bobby went to Opatija in Yugoslavia to play tennis. And when there was Marshal Tito, who was another tyrant, it was a different way of communism, but anyway, it was communism at its worst. And when Bobby came back, he said, we go, we leave. So we asked for the immigration passport. It looked that we shall never get the passport. But one evening, the telephone rang and they said, you got it. And then, of course, it was very quick because we had to get ready as soon before they changed their mind. So we have dismantled our flat at Karlovo Náměstí, and so, which was painful. So that was that, and that was in April 49. But we had the luck that from the Belgian minister, who was a friend, that he gave us Belgian visa. Because to get a visa was something totally impossible.
And how did you say goodbye to Bobby, to Granny?
How? No, they all went to the airport, both parents. And it was last time I saw my father.
And how long did you stay in Brussels?
I would say Antwerp, I think probably a fortnight. Because suddenly they telephoned from Paris and invited Bobik to Roland Garros for the championships.
Because Bobik was playing tennis.
So we have left only with one suitcase. And when we came to Paris, we decided, absolutely wonderful, here we don't go back. So we phoned and we said we'll be staying in Paris. And since then, we have lived about 2 years and few months in Paris. And the decision leaving was because you were going to be born, and the English told us that the political situation in France is so unsafe, unstable, so we do better when we come to England.
Tell me, when you came, you were expecting me. Did you tell them you were expecting me? Or did you hide me under your coat?
I brought you under my navy coat, and we never told them. But I have to say, when she was born, we immediately got residence. They have been very nice to us.
Na ty louce zelený, páso se tam jelení, páse je tam myslí večer, kam je zolce zelený, zelený. Páse je tam myslí večer, kam je zolce zelený.
We lived first at Marble Arch because some friend of ours, Czechs, who have already established themselves in London, had a nice flat at Marble Arch, and we lived a month there. And then we lived with some other friends in Hampstead. Yes, and they found us a furnished flat in Hampstead. Mm-hmm. So when Veronica was born, she was born to that furnished flat in Hampstead.
But how was it paid for?
Bobby, when he came, started to work because one of these people who offered the flat to stay, so he had as well a company, and he employed Bobby. So Bobby worked for him, but he earned £10.50.
So then Mama was born. When did Babichka come to London?
My mother came in 1955, and that was due to the president whose name was Hapototsky, and he let the grandmothers emigrate and take as well things what they owned.
So Babichka came. It must have been a big thing for her, though, to come to England.
It was. I think it was all the time a big thing for her. In Prague, we were so close. There was nobody else. And then when she came to England, so there was Bobby and Veronica. So she was pushed a bit.
But also she didn't really speak English.
No, she did speak, yes. Not well, but she did speak English, yes. Mm.
I do remember that until I was quite grown up, I used to think that a sort of bun which has currants in it and it's got a shiny top, was called a baz bun. A baz bun, because Granny used to pronounce it as a baz bun. I only then found out that it was a bath bun.
Oh, yeah, she always used to go to Richmond for tea and buy a bath
in the Lions Courthouse, but I was following what Granny said because I didn't know the right word until I discovered.
Yes. And she looked after you often while, Bubby, you were touring.
Babichka worked enormously. She has done an enormous job. Really, because she had the whole household. We were already not a baby, of course, when I started in 59.
At Lions Tours? Yeah. And tell us about your job, your career.
Pepik Stome, a friend of ours who was a former diplomat, young chap, got a job as a guide, tour manager, as they call it, in one of the English travel business firms. And he came and he said, look, Vera, I have met some women on the road, and I know this is a company from north of England, and they employ women. And I thought that would be a job for you.
And of course, it was the beginning of travel. I mean, more or up less, to that more point, or less. There really hadn't been any continental travel.
Probably, yes, I don't know. Since
no, but they needed linguists. They needed people who could speak
then,
a
of
foreign
course,
language.
Yes.
And then you happened to like it?
Oh, yes, of course. But it was quite tiring because in the first 2 years or three, we traveled overnight in the bus.
So then you were living here, and then obviously you married my dad in 1982.
When I phoned my mother, I think we were in Greece where your dad proposed to me. And I said, Mummy, we're engaged. Mummy's reaction was, thank God.
No,
which
yeah,
I thought
no.
was, yes,
not very tactful.
No.
I guess they were desperate.
No, but I didn't make my coat like that. I was very excited.
And when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with Bubby and Bobík, and so I learned Czech from the beginning.
Spíval kosici fistulí, Bubby, že se k ní dnes večer přitulí, že přijde ve fraku s žížalou v ruksaku, takovo, že se až oči vykulí.
I mean, it just was like osmosis.
I think
we did try really hard
to do that. And obviously it worked. And then when you went to Prague to work, then you just became... In fact, you have more of a Prague accent when you speak than I do. I think I speak the sort of pre-war Czech.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I still used to get teased by my colleagues in Prague for speaking an old-fashioned Czech. I used to say words and they would laugh at me and say, no one says that anymore and that doesn't exist. So I definitely learnt the old-style Czech rather than the modern Czech.
Když jsem já sloužil to první leto, vysloužil jsem si kuřátko za to. A to kuře krákoře běhá po dvoře, má panenka pláče doma v komoře.
We've tried to maintain Czech traditions. I mean, there aren't that many of them, but it's part of us. I mean, we're sitting in your flat, which is entirely, the walls are covered in paintings, some of which you have painted because you're pretty good, but others came from Czecho, maybe through Granny, but we've got Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia all around us. And I think that sort of has informed us. And some of the furniture I have seen in photographs of your parents' flat house and my dad's parents as well, some of the bits of furniture are here. So I think it's been part of our life, very much so.
Když jsem já sloužil to druhé leto, vysloužil jsem si kachničku za to,
a ta kachna jako machna.
Jo.
A to kuře krákoře běhá po dvoře, má panenka pláče doma v komoře.
Christmas Eve is the big event, and we have a very nice fish dinner all together as a family. This year we were with our Czech cousins, actually, who came and, as well, and we dress up in our finery. So very smart, back tie and sparkles.
Always overdressed.
And then we open a few presents and celebrate together. So Christmas Eve in our family is bigger. And then obviously we do Christmas Day, the English Christmas Day with our English family or more like that. But that's definitely something that we keep. And, you know, people have... now my boyfriend joins us, so we've had friends in the past who come along, so people also get to join in the Christmas fun. And of course, Christmas would not be Christmas without Vánočka, where we make the Czech cake, which for me is always a sort of, it's an enjoyable and quite
torturous
task, because there's always a debate, a massive debate about the ingredients and the quantities and when things go in and how much we're supposed to put in, because we have it written down in Czech, but the Czech measurements are different to the English. And so there's a sort of translation process. And then there's always pressure about to make it perfect. And it always ends up great, but my mother always puts a lot of pressure on herself to make it perfect. And then we have to photograph every Vánočka. And then there's also the Vánočka that we make for Bobík and Babička. So there's always a small Vánočka made for those who are no longer with us. And didn't you take it to the cemetery?
We went to the cemetery and I halved one. So Daddy got half and my granny got the other half, which we know will make the foxes of Richmond really happy, but there we go.
But do you know if they eat sweet?
What, the foxes?
I don't think they distinguish between foods. But we always take them Vánočka as well.
Ukazu tak jako u lidí. Když se dva milují, nevidí.
I think that we consider the Czech heritage very important. And part of it, I mean, a major part of it, is that my parents cleverly made sure I spoke Czech from the get-go. Because we know quite a few people who are kind of my age, the children of Czechs who came over here who didn't learn. They, for various reasons, deliberately didn't teach their children Czech. And then in subsequent years, they were speaking to their parents in a foreign language. And so they didn't get all those traditions, all those stories that we've been able to get through the language, and which happily you, Natasha, have also got.
Yeah, and the language is connected to the culture. So it's language, but it's also, I think especially when you live abroad from somewhere that you're from, you want to preserve those traditions. It's a way of holding on to your identity. I mean, okay, I was born here and grew up here, but Bubby, you know, you came to a completely new foreign place where it was nothing like Prague. It was nothing like your home. So you do these things to keep that those memories alive, to keep that those stories and traditions alive, because it keeps people alive.
Well, I would say the basic life was very bare. We had no money. So I think we probably decorated them, how I would say it, our life
with
the part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Czech part.
And you never lost it, really.
We all like Czech food. We know some Czech songs. I've lived in Prague. We go and visit all the time. I think we've all maintained a link, and it is through language, and it is through food, and it is through culture and people and clothes and all these objects you see around you. I mean, I think when you have that all together, you can't really, it just is a part of you. And of course, it's more interesting. You know, it's more interesting to be half Czech, in my case, or Czech, and have that as an extra part of you that, you know, because it's a story of where you came from and so on.
I mean, I really enjoy English Christmas Day, but I sort of feel as I'm a guest. I mean, it's usually at an in-laws or something like that, and I really enjoy it. But, you know, people always say, what do you feel? Who are you? I mean, this is such a big question nowadays, isn't it? Who are you? Are you European? Are you whatever? It is who we are, isn't it? And it's just a part of us, but it's I am the product of you two, she's the product of me, and Czechness is a big part of it. Although in many ways there are lots of things, you know, that Czechs might do that we might not like particularly or disagree with. And yet we are those people. We are Czech. We're
mongrels.
Má panenka pláče doma v komoře.
So in March, Bubby, will be your birthday. And I know you don't like to talk about it, but you'll be turning 100, which is a milestone. How do you feel about your birthday? And are you expecting a telegram from the Queen?
Well, I am not expecting a telegram from the Queen because apparently there are so many 100-year-old people that they don't do it anymore.
No, they do it. You just have to tell them about
it. Oh, no, so you have to announce it and then they will send you a telegram. And I particularly, because I never liked old age, so I'm not enchanted at all. I think it's a scandal to be so old.
I think it's something to be very proud of, I would say.
Well, I would say the word proud is not in my vocabulary. I hate it. Everybody is proud on television now. They are all proud. I'm proud because I got, I don't know, the turkey £2 cheaper or something. They are all proud. So for me, that word doesn't exist. No. Okay.
As you are approaching this birthday, whether you like it or not, and you know we hang on your every word. What would you like to say to us, to me, and then to this young woman who's going to lead her life?
I pray for them that things will turn up well for them. The main thing which interests me is how they will be, so that they are well and so on.
And what do you want for us, aside from good health?
So that you have a stressless life.
Stressless life?
Yes, because you are both good characters, so I don't need to wish you that.
What is the secret of you? People always want to know that. You know, what makes you so amazing still? What are the qualities, do you think, that have kept you going?
I don't know. I think that I have got that good memory. Of course, I don't remember what I ate. I have been yesterday, but I have still the old memory into detail. Another thing is that I never liked old age, I have to say, since I was a child. And I always pushed it like that, pushed it away.
A ten kůň jako, a ta koza...
Chodí bosa.
Chodí bosa, a ta, ano, a ta husa chodí bosa, a ta husa chodí bosa.
A ta husa
chodí bosa. A to, a ta kachna jako machna, a to kůře krákoře běhá po dvoře, má panenka pláče doma v komoře.
Wonderful.